Hey guys, it's Courtney
and Lex,
and you're listening to another episode of The Pleasure Is All Yours.
We are here promoting sexual liberation of the Black and queer communities.
Yes, we want to laugh, learn, and just really discuss all the ways that the pleasure is
all yours.
It's all yours, baby. Hey bitch, we back.
What's up? Take two,
literally. We didn't even change outfits, so you know
what it is. Because listen,
It's too much.
And we're trying to stay ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And get a little bank going.
Yeah.
So this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. So I would love to jump right in, bitch.
Yeah, let's jump right in.
I don't have a fun fact. Okay. I felt like life is fun. Life is good right now.
And that's the fact.
Yeah.
It's springtime.
Yeah. It just is so nice outside. Yeah. Like, it just feels so good. I can't wait to, I got to clean today. I got to do some laundry shit. But yeah. I can't wait to try to enjoy some of the weather. Open my doors, you know.
I'm really excited to go to the Butterfly House. Like, yes. I'm so excited. That's why I was like, babe, can you be ready when I get back?
And when what's the likelihood that she'll be ready? Give me a percentage.
Like 35%.
That she'll be ready?
Yeah.
Girl.
I'm giving it like 80% that the house will be completely spotless. Okay. 85% that the house will be completely spotless.
Okay.
So I'll give her that, because then once I get there, I can like be like, okay, babe, you need to go get ready. Okay. And that will probably take another hour. So we probably won't get there till maybe like 3:30-ish.
Okay.
Which gives me like 2.5 hours.
But that's also supposed to be like the warmest part of the day.
Yeah.
And like almost 70. So like beautiful weather.
Yeah.
You know, you guys can grab a bite. Mm-hmm. It'll be a vibe.
Absolutely.
So every episode we start off with a pleasure moment for the week.
Absolutely.
So Lex, what was your pleasure moment for this week?
I'd probably say like how, okay, so I've, and I'll most likely be mentioning this until the challenge is over.
Okay.
But I have been going to the gym every day. And I think my pleasure moment has been like how good I feel right after and like the following day. So yeah, I'd probably say that. I've definitely like been getting like how quickly I can get through a mile on the treadmill and the elliptical.
Okay.
Like down. So I was at like 28 minutes on the treadmill, and now I can get a mile done in 22 minutes.
Okay, bitch. Yeah, in 2 weeks. That's amazing.
Right.
Not you shedding off 6 minutes in 2 weeks.
Right. And then I think on the elliptical it takes me about like 17 minutes to get through a mile, which I think is like,
that's solid.
Because you're going so fast, so I think that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you doing the same thing every day, or like how are you deciding what you do? Because that's, to me, that's my hardest tackle on like going to the gym is like when I get there, what am I going to be doing? And I try to save TikToks and stuff, but I want to be more consistent.
Well, I just think like, so how I kind of take the pressure off by being like, okay, I just need to go for 30 minutes.
Okay.
And half the time after my 30 minutes, I'm like, ooh, I could go some more.
Right.
So I'll go another 30 minutes and I'll do things that I know that are good for me that will engage my muscles. So like squats, I'll do those. Or they have like the ab cruncher. Mm-hmm. I do like to do those.
Okay.
And then the like seated leg press.
Love that one.
Love the seated leg press.
I like the one where you go like.
Oh, the thigh crunch.
The abductor machine or whatever.
Yeah, that one's good. Mm. And then I also like the rowing. And then I also have a jump rope.
Okay.
So like if I've gone through and I've done like squats, I also do the like things with the weights with my arms.
Yeah.
Like I'll do those.
Free weight stuff.
Yeah. But like nothing too crazy, because if I do too much, then I'm just going to be pressured to like, I'm going to pressure myself to a point where I'm not going to want to go.
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay,
keep
well,
simple.
Yeah. And so like, I'll still have soreness. Like I have some muscle soreness today from yesterday, but, like at least I'm being active. And when I talk to my doctor, that is like all my doctor was saying. She was like, just 30 minutes. She said 3 times a week, but I've been going every day. But she was like, 30 minutes will do your body so good.
Yeah.
It does pay off in the long run. So I'm like, I got 30 minutes in my day. And then on some days when I have more than 30 minutes, I will stay longer. So
you really inspire me.
Just think, you usually have 30 minutes of your day.
I do.
Sitting in bed, watching something.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like I really could just go out there. And the problem that I have is like, the consistency. Like I will go for like 2 or 3 weeks, especially when I'm going to my yoga classes. Like that fuels me to like do other stuff throughout the week.
Yeah.
But then I will go and I'll go somewhere and travel for a week. And then I come back and I'm like, I'm so tired. I just don't want to do anything. And then it just.
Your hotels have a gym, right?
Yes, but who the fuck? Like. I was thinking about that
because I was like, you know, Puerto Rico's coming up. So I was like,
are you still going to be doing your 75 at the time?
I don't think so.
But you just want to stay in it.
Yeah, because I want to keep the habit. Yeah. Like, I want to keep the habit. I had the habit really well before, like 2-3 years ago. I had a really.
But you were going to the gym like twice a day sometimes, right?
Yeah, sometimes twice a day because I had the time and it just made me feel so good that I wanted to go.
And
so
I saw you were talking about how. Working out has like increased your sex drive.
Yeah, I was actually gonna mention that. Yeah bro, I'd be so horny for no reason.
I love that
for
you.
No reason. And you know, for a little while there was like nothing, like like if I wasn't like, if somebody didn't do something to turn me on, I was just like chilling. But like now, like I had a horny building up for 2 days. 2 days. And then Red was trying to fucking play with me and I was like, no, I want to let you know this is gonna be quick. This is going to be really intense and like, you're going to have to give me a second, but like, I want to let you know, like I was sitting at my desk. Like I could not, like,
I was
just thinking about how horny I was.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
It's like you're training your brain. Like it's used to like sending out endorphins again and like getting your serotonin up to a good level. Mm-hmm. Like, so it puts you in that position for success.
Yeah. So I've just been doing that, you know,
love that.
Really trying to get my better habits going.
Bitch, we almost 30.
Yeah, we are. I actually have to apply for school this week.
Yay! That is so exciting.
Yeah. You know, I do really, really want to become a sex educator. Yeah. Like, really, really bad. I feel like that is my calling.
Can you go straight to that?
No.
So you have to, like, do your basics
get,
and everything.
Yeah, I have to get, at least an associate. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, sense. I be fucking up the tears. I'm like,
not the tears, bitch.
That's what it is. Every time you go to college, you go to a different tier. Like, that's literally what it is. So, but I want to do that.
Okay.
Because I really want to go. So I have to major in like psychology or sociology.
Okay.
And then there's a national program that I can use that to get all certification for. So it doesn't matter where I am, as long as it's within like, it's like I said, it's like a national global thing. So I could teach it anywhere. I could seminar it anywhere.
So is it like a course or is it just a test?
No, it's a whole course.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like, it's like a whole thing. You pay tuition and everything. Oh, it's like a whole semester.
Okay.
Of,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, a certification for. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Yeah. I cannot wait to see all of your goals flourish.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of taking my time.
Yeah, that is the too best much way to complete these bitches. Take your motherfucking time. Same, bitch.
Too much stress is going to make me not do it.
It's just stall. Like, every single time. I'll just stand and wait until, like, the stress comes down, which it never does, because the longer you wait, the more you're stressed out about not moving forward.
So I just am like, okay.
One foot in front of the other.
I also give myself, like, longer deadlines, too. So I'm like, okay, by the time I'm like 32, I want to have that done.
Yes.
I'm like, that's so much time for me.
And that's approachable. Like, and we still have so much life, like so much life ahead of us. I would respect you so much as a sex educator at 32.
I'd be so
hot. If you said it at 24, you're a sex educator, I'd be like, bitch, you know what? And what you know about sex, bitch?
And I'm gonna be so sexy.
You're gonna be so hot. Like, with your pencil skirts.
My little 32-year-old body.
Yeah.
Like,
and your glasses.
Yeah.
Just everybody for fun. Has glasses. Yeah, the but big
just for
ones.
Fun, because I don't need those.
No, but they're fun.
Yeah.
I feel like every 30-year-old has a pair of like really thick rim, like bright colored glasses.
Yeah, that are circular usually.
Yeah. Or like a big hat.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what I'm focused on when I turn 30, is finding a hat.
I can't wait for fashion at 30.
Yeah, really exciting.
What was your pleasure moment?
I would say my pleasure moment was my whole trip to Toronto was just really cool. Mm-hmm. I actually met a lot of people in Toronto and I really fuck with it. It was fucking cold. Okay. It was 20.
Oh, yeah, you did send me a picture.
It was 20 degrees, snowing off and on. Uh-huh. The last day I was there was a lot of sun, so it was still 25 degrees, but it was sunny, so that was a plus. But, like, the people mm-hmm. are pretty friendly. I would say the young black people, because that's all that I really associated with.
I love it.
We're really, really friendly. And I went to a super queer event called the Strap House, which kisses, 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 kisses all across the board. Loved the fuck Hell it. Yeah. And apparently it's a monthly series. So hopefully when I'm back in June, I'll be able to catch it again. But like, it's the best. And it's, you know, I actually didn't know that it was created by Marissa Daddy.
Oh.
The person that the edit audio.
Yeah.
So she throws it up there.
Okay.
And it's a no cis hetero men allowed. Actually, just no cis men allowed, period. And it's like a night at the strip club. And it's just a bunch of like strippers and a bunch of gay ass, mostly black people throwing fucking Canadian fives and tens and 20s on the stage. Because they don't have ones, which I learned. So like you could trade in your fives for American USD ones because they're like worth more than $1 in Canada.
Yeah.
So you could trade those in and like throw them. But most people were just throwing Canadian dollar bills. And because it was just a space for like queer people, it was just so much love and like fun. Like it wasn't like a CD strip club.
Yeah.
Like it was the best music, like Afro beats were playing, badass, thick ass strippers. And like my favorite part was that people were just going on the stage with like money in their mouths or like money on their bodies. And they would like lay on the stage and the strippers would come over and like get on them and like give them like a whole dance and just like give them little kisses on their cheek. And like, it was just so sweet and fun. And I met like some really cool girls that we just kind of partied with that night. It was a great, great experience. I really want to like bring something like that here.
Hell yeah.
Like the vibes, we have been saying forever that we just want a space like really where it's just that. And like queer women can really be like queer women without any peering eyes.
Yeah.
And like it was awesome. So shout out to
be our little requirement, no cis hetero men. You can bring a plus one, but
don't bring your motherfucking boyfriend.
And not even on a leash, bitch.
Not even on a leash. That would be fun. But yeah, shout out to the Strap House, shout out to Marissa Daddy. That was awesome. So that I would definitely say that was my pleasure moment. I also that was my pleasure moment.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So today I wanted to chat about something we all do and we do it every day.
Okay, blink. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, that's, but we do. So check mark. That'll be the next episode.
Okay. All about blinking.
Today we're talking about communication.
Oh, love that. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about like the styles of communication, how we communicate within our romantic relationships and then how we communicate within our like our non-romantic, our close and personal relationships.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was like styles of communicating. I know when I say styles of communication, it's like, of course, yes. But like, yeah, there are. There are four. And I wanted to ask you once I read them, like, which do you think you are?
And then we'll see which one I actually am.
Well, I feel like the one that you think you are is the one you'll be at.
Okay.
But I guess it just depends on like who you're talking to.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So we all have specific ways of communicating with our lovers, our friends, and our family. There's like four main types. Obviously, the style in which we communicate has everything to do with the situation we're in and the person we're talking to. Because if I'm talking to my boyfriend about how he didn't pay the bill or something last month, that's a different different conversation than when I'm talking to you about like what movie you want to go see and you don't know.
Yeah,
you're indecisive. Did you see Love Lies Bleeding?
I didn't, but it's on the list for this.
Okay,
It's on the list for this weekend.
Okay, please.
Yeah, with popcorn entailed.
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I think it's such a good movie. Okay, so there's four types of communication. Passive communicators. Mm-hmm. Not expressing feelings or needs. You're ignoring your own personal rights and allowing others to do so as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're referring to others for decision making and in order to avoid tension or conflict.
Okay.
And then, of course, this often leads to misunderstandings, built up anger and resentment.
Yes.
And it can be a safer option for addressing conflict when the situation might result in like violence or like unsafe things.
Yeah.
Examples would include, I'm okay with whatever you want to do. Body language would be like making eye contact like to the floor or like, you know, looking away or like brushing off.
Mm-hmm.
Aggressive communicators. You're expressing your needs and ideas at the expense of others, so you don't give a fuck. You're going to say what you want.
Okay.
You're ignoring others' rights in order to support your own.
Okay.
Defensive or hostile when you're confronted by other people. And you often alienate or hurt people when you are expressing yourself. But it can help you get your needs met really quickly. So the example of that is like, this is what we're doing. Or just get over it, crossing your arms, pointing, rolling your eyes, shaking that neck. All of that is aggressive communicating, which is kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Passive-aggressive communicators, the worst.
Those are the worst kind.
Appearing passive on the surface, but subtly acting out of anger. Exerting control over others by using sarcasm, indirect communication, or avoiding the conversation altogether. Limited consideration for the rights, needs, and feelings of others. And examples include the silent treatment, spreading rumors, sabotaging another person's efforts, etc.
Ugh. The worst just one. Just dirty, downright bitch.
Because you want to pretend, bitch. You want to pretend like everything is good. You want to pretend like you are that angel. But in reality, bitch, you plotting. Awful.
Terrible.
Okay, assertive communicators. They're direct, honest about their thoughts and feelings. They respect the feelings and ideas of others while also still making sure their point gets made or their need gets met. It may not be effective when interacting with individuals that threaten your safety. And people often misinterpret assertive behavior as aggressive. Mm-hmm. But it says Americans, which is crazy, Americans and women are often mislabeled as aggressive communicators when they're really just being assertive.
Yeah.
Americans, I don't know, but I would say black and black people and women are often labeled as aggressive communicators.
Yeah.
Examples include I statements. I feel, I need, I want, and body language would be eye contact, straight posture, relaxed gestures. Obviously, the best case of communicator would be an assertive communicator, mm-hmm. just because you're being forward. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, my mom called me three times. Obviously, the best case would be to be an assertive communicator because you're getting your point met by basically still being respectful. Mm-hmm. But I just don't feel like we're all that way all the time. Like, best case, of course.
Yeah.
Out of the four, which one do you say you lean more towards?
I definitely lean more towards assertive.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was thinking, like, when you said aggressive, I was like, ooh, maybe that's me. But then you defined it. And, yeah, just like it said, I think people get aggressive and assertive differently. Because while I'm talking, if I'm telling someone, oh, I feel this and this situation made me feel this, I'm still trying to use language that doesn't make them feel like I'm attacking them or yelling at them. I am a very animated speaker just in general. Yeah. So I think I could probably work on like gesturing and maybe like tone of voice in that way. But like, I think I would definitely be like assertive because I want to hear what you say and like, I want to know how you feel. But at the end of the day, I also need to be heard and it, especially when it comes to like interpersonal relationships, like there's just no way that I can like not do that. I've had too much time where I've had to be passive.
And like so you had no choice.
I had no choice. So I was being passive communicating for so long that like now in my big girl age, like, you know, we're no.
I think that's also an issue as black women that we often have is that being raised by black parents, there is a certain level of like passiveness that they just expect you to have as a child because if your needs are getting met and you have an attitude in the morning, that's a problem. You need to fix that. I don't care how you fix it. You need to fix it. Like,
yeah. So now you got to kind of like shut everything away and like
shut everything down, like no emotional reactions at all because it will be considered an attitude.
You got to watch your breathing.
Bitch.
Watch the way you're blinking.
Your eyes moving.
Don't look to the side too fast.
Bitch, God forbid you look up to the sun to check on God.
Yeah.
My God. But yeah, and then you become an adult. And then you're like, fuck this. Like, I have been holding my fucking tongue. So now this nigga or this, my partner, is going to receive it.
Yeah. It's just, I think with everyone, everywhere, that's how I am.
Yeah.
Like, even, and sometimes it does kind of, I don't think it's gotten me in any trouble, but it does get me called into offices sometimes at work because I am assertive, not even just for myself, but for others as well. So if I'm hearing you talk to this person and I can see that this person is like very passive, or, you know, they're kind of like, I'll be the first one to be like, wait, hold on. That kind of doesn't make any sense. And I think this is what actually they were trying to let you know, so literally the same thing just happened. I literally got called to HR to talk about it. I don't know. Cause I can't be passive, and I know like some people are passive because they're scared. Like, I don't think that that should be a thing in the workplace. So even there, I'm like, whoa, back up. So
that makes sense. I mean, I feel like for me in the workplace, I'm pretty passive, but I also don't think I put myself in a lot of positions like to have to be aggressive or like have to be all that assertive. Like when I do things right, and like when I'm talking to people, I'm very direct. I say, hey, this is what I've been doing. This is how I've been doing it. But I guess I've just never been in enough of like social situations where like somebody sent me a crazy motherfucking email
or said something crazy to me right at my desk.
Exactly. Like I've had to like take it up a notch. Like, yeah. I just try to like fucking keep to my motherfucking self in all of my situations, you know?
Yeah.
But when it comes to like my everyday, I would say a mix of like passive and assertive. Mm-hmm. I'm passive because I really, and I'm trying to be better. You know, I've been talking about how I've noticed that I'm kind of avoidant.
Yeah.
So it's more just like, I will not talk. Until I have exactly what I want to say and how I want to bring it up, I have a hard time bringing it up. Like, I don't want to have to process my emotions in front of other people.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go into a situation knowing I'm going to talk to somebody about something and then going from there. And that's why I find it assertive, because I'm saying like, hey, I really wanted to talk to you about this.
Are you giving them the same courtesy of like being able to emotionally process, or are you like, oh, I'm going to think about this and then I'm going to bring it to them when I'm done thinking about it, and then they have to kind of on the spot talk about it? Or
I think it depends. I think a lot of times I have said, hey, we should probably chat, or like, hey, can I call you? Or I've had people say, hey, can they call me? Like,
yeah,
for sure sometimes. But I think other times, if we're in a moment where that feeling is coming up, then I'm gonna say my piece.
I'm thinking more so like, if you're talking to someone, something happens, and then you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna go talk about it, and then time goes on, and then you're like,
what do you mean you're gonna go talk about it?
I mean, think about it. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah,
But I'm saying, in those instances, are you offering the other person the same grace of like, you're taking time to think about it?
Oh,
like, that's what I'm saying.
If someone were to tell me, hey, I can't process this right now, and I need what you're bringing to me, you're bringing it to my attention, and I need to process this.
Yeah.
I would absolutely just say, okay.
Okay.
But it's the person that I'm speaking to's responsibility as an assertive communicator to say, I cannot process this right now.
It is indeed.
Because if you're going to get into it, if I've gotten into it and you're going to get into it with me, we're getting into it. You know what I mean?
Like, especially, I only ask because I think that every time somebody said, like, anytime somebody's like, well, before I bring anything to anyone, I like to sit and think about it first.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, you're sitting thinking about it and this person's moving forward.
But that's
facts. So now it's 4 days later and you're bringing something to them and they're like,
I didn't even know this was an issue.
Exactly.
No, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I'm working on is like, how do I acknowledge it when it happens, right?
Yeah.
But also say, hey, I'm not in a place to deal with it myself right now. And also, it's not big enough for me to address at this time.
I don't think it's even like bringing it up at that time. It's like, even if you go home and you're like, wow, this made me feel weird. Like, even just being like, hey.
But sometimes like, being an only child, I use that as an excuse for everything. Being an only child and being a Scorpio, I'll use it till the day I die, because I feel like it really influences how I move in spaces between my interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
I feel like my reactions to things are often really, like, I'm a dramatic person. So in my head, I automatically think the worst, not like, oh, they hate me, but like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
They're doing this because of this. They secretly feel like this. And I know as I grow older, like when I was younger, I would immediately react like that. I would be like, that's why me and Caitlin joke all the time about how like she always says I didn't like her, or like we weren't friends when we were we've been best friends since we were sixth grade.
Yeah.
Because if I felt like I was getting a certain energy from her, I would have that energy immediately. Like, mm-hmm. bitch, you want to have an attitude? I have an attitude times 10, and I actually have a reason for that attitude now. So, like, now we're really in trouble. As I've gotten older, I've just been better at saying, like, this might be my ego. This might be... like my, like I don't want to say trauma. Like
reflect,
exactly. Reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I might be deflecting or reflecting my feelings about myself on this situation. Mm-hmm. So I try to give myself some days or some time to really think, like, think about where the feeling is coming from. Mm-hmm. And then if I still have a problem and I'm like, okay, well, this is me, but also this can be changed or like, this can be addressed, then I'll address it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just try to give myself a little time to like tell my mind to calm down and remember that not everything is about me because I'm an only child.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, I just feel like everything's about me.
Yeah.
Like even if it's
I mean, it has been like most of your life.
And also I just never saw the close enough perspective of having a brother or having a sister or having somebody around me like that was close to me other than my parents.
Yeah.
To be like, I don't know. Just like see how things play out in their lives. I just feel like everything I know is from my experience being by myself.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I just feel like I never really got to process a lot of things with other people.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, I don't know how, like you did that with your brother and sister, but like.
As the eldest, it's not like I had to do that. That is where a lot of my passiveness comes from because I'm the eldest and because like at the end of the day if like my mom's not doing it, I'm doing it. Like I didn't really feel like I had much space to like really authentically feel what I was feeling anyway. And then because everyone else always has so many other things going on and I still felt like it was my responsibility to make sure all of that was okay, then I think that's where like my ability to like take a second and like consider what someone else might be thinking or doing.
Yeah.
I think that's where that comes from. Yeah. It's literally me being the eldest because I had to always be considering, and my mom is a narcissist. So like there's that too.
Somebody had to consider somebody else.
And if not, it was going to be conflict.
Yeah.
Like if not, it was going to be conflict 100% of the time. There was no time that I could be like, oh, I feel like this, or you made me feel like this. And my mom would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She would literally be like, well, that's because that's what it is. That's what you do. Like, you know, so it's like, there was no room for
nuance.
Yeah. There was no room. So I always had to be considerate of what I said, how I said it, what mind space is someone else in if I'm going to say this thing, because the last thing I want to do is go tell my mom something and she not be in the mind space and it
go left.
Cause it would go left. Yeah. So, you know, just, I was always in an environment where I had to. So now it's hard for me not to.
Mm.
So in my, like, as I get older, it's me focusing on not only what other, like considering others, but also considering myself.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel that I have moved more into assertive communication because like, while I do consider others when I talk about things and when I bring things to them, I feel like if something's bothering me, you already know, like I will be like, hey, this made me feel this. This made me feel this. And I try to make a lot of I feel statements in those moments. And I try to like really make sure someone, like people can really understand, because it's like, I want you to know, so we don't do this again kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Product of my environment.
We all are at the end of the day, like we really all are. And that's why we all communicate differently to each other.
Yeah. But I used to be really passive.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, one of my partners was very passive aggressive. So,
God.
Yeah.
God. Anyway, assertive communication is most likely to lead to respectful and longer term relationships. In a normal, non high stakes conversation or relationship, this should be the norm. Like, I mean, obviously, if you're in a toxic relationship, this might not be the norm.
You might be passive right now.
Passive and aggressive communication might work better on some occasions. For example, if you are feeling fearful that you're about to be harmed, passive communication may help to diffuse the situation, and aggressive communication might prevent the problem from getting worse. So I would say physically harmed. I think a lot of us have an issue, me included, with like being worried about being emotionally harmed. Mm-hmm. And so I bite my tongue because I'm like, ooh, what if they say something that's going to hurt me, like, worse? Or, like, what if they tell me a truth that I don't agree with, which is crazy because it's like I would want somebody to tell me the truth. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I think like I think the what you said before, I think that where you're like, well, what if they say something that makes me feel even worse? I think someone who like really loves you for real would never do that.
Yeah.
And so I think that that probably comes from a trauma that you've had of like how people or someone has communicated with you when you were trying to be vulnerable with them and they took something personal and like used it as like a weapon against you. That's probably where that comes from.
Oh.
Yeah. Because like someone who loves you and wants to have a conversation with you will not be like, oh, well, I'm going to say this and this is going to make that bitch feel worse.
Yeah. And like,
yeah,
I'm just a paranoid person. So like, yeah, even if they don't seem like that person, because I would never guess that you would do that. I would never say that my current partner would do that. But I'm still like,
yeah, but where does that come from?
I know.
That's what my therapist would ask me. Literally my therapist asked me, I said something to her. She said, think back to the first time you ever felt that feeling. And when was that?
I remember, but I don't remember what was said. Yeah. But I remember the feeling.
You don't have to remember what they said. You just need to remember the feeling, remember what that was, and think before that's not a fear that you had.
Until that
moment.
I think it was a canon event that every black child experiences with their black parent.
Yes.
Which is when you tell them you're depressed between the ages of like 13 and 16. Mm-hmm. And they're like, bitch, what do you have to be depressed about? Go depress them dishes. But like it was
That laundry.
Literally, like it was so much more dramatic than that. But I think I remember what I was doing. I remember how I was feeling. I remember what I was holding. But I don't really remember exactly what my mom said. But I remember I was just so upset and like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. You just remember shit.
Yeah. But whenever you feel things like that and you question why you feel like that, the question should always be like, well, let me think back to the moment that I actually felt that. And then that kind of helps you process through it and be like, okay, well, no one in my life even treats me like that now.
Yeah.
So why would they even say something like that to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, bitch, you want to be a sex educator? You want to be a therapist? That was great. Okay, where was I? Okay, and then while the passive communication style can be helpful, when people pair it with subtle aggression, the passive aggressive style mm-hmm. is likely to interfere or undermine healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. And it will. I have a friend that's very passive aggressive, and I'm just like, and they're trying to do better. They are actively doing better.
Yeah.
But like, when people are passive aggressive, I think it automatically puts the person they're being passive aggressive to in the aggressive state. Yeah. Because you're like,
this is like, what's happening?
Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Say what you mean so that we can address this. I'm willing to address this, but you're not speaking clearly.
That's why you can't be passive aggressive to me. If you're being passive, especially because I take words, especially now, I take for what you say. And if you're putting an underlying meaning on it, I'm not hearing it because what you just said to me, I'm assuming that that is exactly what you mean. So all you about to do is piss your own self off because if you told me it's fine, baby, I'm moving like it's fine.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you do. But I get it.
It'll teach you a lesson.
That was very assertive of you, Lex.
Just be just be more assertive. Tell me what you fucking want.
So I know we usually wrap up with questions for the girls, but like this will be our slow down. Okay. Mm-hmm. What kind of communicator are you? Which we talked about, assertive.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you feel like you can switch into aggressive, but it was because you used to be passive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to be very, very, very passive. That was like when I think about it and even now, like, you know, I only have like maybe two people that have known me like when I was adolescent, like 16, that have known me since then and they know me now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, like we check in on each other quite frequently and she's just like, the woman you become is like amazing. Has said to me, like, I could always see it, like, underlining, but, like, to see it now as you as now is, like, insane. And, you know, she's, like, way older than me. And she's, like, I want to be like you when I grow up. And, like, my aunt you know, she jokes and says the same thing sometimes. And so I just really, really like, I don't know. And like hearing things like that from people who have known me for so long, it just really solidifies that like I am in the right mindset and pushing myself towards the right direction, like as I get older.
Because you can see the growth.
Because and other people can see it as well. Yeah. And I even know like the friends that I've made, like you and like any friends that I have made since I moved here to Dallas, even when I was in Arizona, you know, I think that some of them will also say the same thing.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That just makes me feel really good. And I get a lot of validation from making the people around me proud. So that like is also what continues to drive me to move in the direction I am. Because like, if I turned into this awful person and was doing all these awful things, like people would be so surprised and so disappointed in me and so sad. And I don't like thinking about inflicting that on people, like makes me so sad.
Don't cry. I love that. That's such a beautiful mindset to have. Like you're always moving forward and you don't want to let the people around you down.
Yeah. Life is hard enough. Why would I? I don't want to add to that. Life is full of disappointments. Why do I want to be one of them for you?
I wish like I could say that like I feel the same way. Like I just, and it's not even like I'm not. I think I'm a good person. Like I genuinely think I'm a like trustworthy, loyal. I've had friends that I've had for 20 years. I feel like I keep relationships with my family as positive as possible. So I feel like I'm a good person, but like I don't think about things the way that you do. Like I don't consider people in the same way. Like I consider them, but I consider them more like for my comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think it's different. And so when you talk like that and you're like, I am just a beautiful flower that has bloomed to the highest, I'm like, okay, I am a catalily.
But we
And
love
if you
those.
Squeeze me the wrong way, I will
spray thorns.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
But I think that's good. You have a defense mechanism. I think I'm really pretty, but I'm poisonous.
Ooh, hot.
Yeah. I think like it's like that one flower that you're like, oh man, I want to pick that, but it's like you can't.
Don't do it.
Don't pick it.
Don't pick
it. She'll kill you.
And then there's other people that are like that corpse flower where they're like so beautiful and they only bloom once a night. But
yeah.
They smell so bad. They smell so bad.
Yeah, because they thrive off rotting things.
They're rotten. Yes. Yeah,
that's why.
I love when an analogy comes together. Okay, during your last confrontation with your partner, what style of communication do you think you adopted?
Probably like assertive, but sometimes being assertive kind of does get me like not in trouble, but it kind of prolongs an argument.
Okay.
Because I'm being assertive and I'm just wanting to make sure I'm understood. And like throughout the conversation, I'm not feeling understood. I just feel like you keep saying like, oh, this, well, this and this, and this is what I meant. And this is what I meant. And it's like, okay, I understand that, but I'm telling you that this is what I heard and this was my experience. And I'm telling you that, and you keep countering it with what you meant. And so I think in those moments, I'm being so assertive that I'm not processing what the other person is saying, how they're saying it. Like I'm saying that this is how I felt. And you're saying, you know, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. This is what I meant. And basically you're telling me I was just being caring. It just came off the wrong way. That's what you're trying to tell me. And I'm not hearing it that way. And because I'm trying to be like assertive in how I feel, that I'm not hearing you. So I think like in those moments, sometimes it does get me. But we always come to a head. And at the end, I'm always like, you know what? Even in this instance, I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't go left, but I'm like, I did like, you know, I did kind of get a little live there for a second, and I do apologize. It just triggered a bunch of feelings in me, which made me react this way. And as I was reacting, I could not hear you in what you were saying. So I do apologize for that. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So like you were assertive and then you felt like maybe you were a little aggressive, but then you brought it back to assertion by telling them, hey, I apologize for getting a little loud. I apologize for getting a little live. I love saying that.
Yeah.
It can get really fucking live in here.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like a big deal either.
Yeah.
Like even she was like, I don't get like why we're even doing this right now.
But sometimes it's really good to practice on the things that aren't that big of a deal, like to work through them.
And like also I think like some things really remind me of my mother. Mm. And like a feel, like a, even the tiniest fleeting feeling of something when I'm having a discussion like that will remind me of my mother. So I immediately go defensive, like immediately. And my hearing kind of turns off. Yeah. And like, yeah, it's like a whole thing. But then sometimes, what more times than not, what happens is that the person tells me, well, like they say something to me that will kind of click. And I'm like, wow, Lex, you're actually like, maybe bring it down. Or I hear something I've said and I'm like, okay, wait, where did that thought even come from? Like in the middle of the, but I do try to be my very best at like taking accountability and being like, yo, that was me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I do try to do that as often as possible.
Yeah. I think I'm really good at that too now. Definitely just being very open when I know I might have been coming on a little strong, or maybe this confrontation was not started by me, but like I influenced the way that this conversation went. Mm-hmm. I really think that that's a really good start in like leveling the playing field when you're going to talk about it. Yeah. It's just like, let's both acknowledge our part in this.
Yeah. I also think like knowing how the person that you're talking to communicates is like,
precisely,
is like really, really good. 'Cause then once you start, you can, you know.
That's literally my next question.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say the last conversation I had, we were both really assertive in a good way. Like it was a very like, this is how I'm feeling, blah, 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 blah. It was very calm and like nobody was like angry. There was like frustration because we've had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. But it was very just like here. And I think honestly that in itself isn't always a good thing either when you're both just assertive, because it's like, okay, I know how you feel. You know how I feel.
Because you're not hearing.
Well, you're
hearing it.
It's more like in this, at least in this situation, right? It's more like, I mean, I don't care. So I have had this conversation with them a lot about how like I want to have more sex in our relationship. And like, it makes me feel like this when we don't, or even just like, even just the way that we like would approach like physical intimacy, like even if it's not sex, like there's a certain way that I would like things to like proceed. And they also say like, okay, I totally understand that. And I'm here and I want to make you feel like that. I hope that I make you feel like that on a daily basis by these things that I'm doing, because I can't always show up in this way. But this is why I can't show up in this way. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that affect me on the day to day that don't allow me to have don't allow me to put me in a mindset to have physical intimacy the way you want to have physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Because if I had this issues, I probably wouldn't feel so sexy or sexual all the time either. Mm-hmm. However, I'm still having these issues. How can we like meet in the middle? Mm-hmm. And like we come up with a few things, but it's just like he understands where I'm coming from and I understand where he's coming from, but like it just doesn't seem like the ideas like are mixing that well. So
yeah,
I understand where he's coming from, he understands where I'm coming from, but it's just like when we're both just talking in I feels and I want and I wish, it's not getting anywhere. But also I couldn't imagine having that conversation like where somebody's in an aggressive state, or like worse, a passive aggressive state. So I just feel like, you know, some conversations like there really is there's no like right way to communicate.
Yeah.
You know?
I think in your case it's more so about finding a solution.
Yeah.
And finding a solution that's comfortable for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think that's the hard part, because like everybody's comfortable with different levels of things. So what you could be comfortable with doing might not be comfortable for them to like be a part of, you know?
Yeah. And like, obviously we've had conversations about like, you know, what does this like mean? Like in the long term, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just hard because like, this is definitely like the best relationship I've been in.
Yeah.
Like by far, you know, we have so much fun and like we really understand each other. But like something like this, it feels a little to me, it feels like kind of shallow to let this be like the deal breaker.
Why?
Like on my end, I just feel like,
why do you, but if like I'm not in any way like implying anything. I'm just saying, like, if you have a level of intimacy and things that you need as a person to also, like, feel like your partner desires you and wants you in that way, then how is that? That is still a part of being, like, overall 100% like happy in your relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And like, so. My friend went through a breakup last year, and they were together for like 6 years. And she said that the reason she knew she wanted to break up is because like the 95% like wasn't enough anymore. Like that she needed like the 5% that he just could not give her. And so she was like, I have to just like let that go. And I thought that was like really strong of her. And like, I would never expect that from her, but I've been like sitting on that. And it's like, right now, I feel like the 95% is right now is okay. But I'm like, I'm really trying to think about like what I want like in a few years.
As we get older, like it really boils down to that.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It really boils down to that. Exactly. And like morals and values, things that you like, there are key pillars to long term. And I think like all of those should that like those things should be important, like when you are considering, because like, I mean, I don't know, it's just when you, because otherwise then it's 6 years from now
exactly,
and now you're and your whole life is like,
I've literally already done that, like I have done that, I'm good, like so it's a challenge. And so I'm trying to figure out how to like communicate just communicate all of the feelings that I'm feeling. And like you know, because I'm avoidant, I just feel like,
and like because
things are harder,
and also because you still are teetering, like you're still on your scale, your scale's still going up and down,
and I hate that for me.
It probably makes it harder to even talk about it, because then it's like, well, what if he asked this, and what if he asked this, and I don't know those things, so
I don't.
Yeah,
I also feel one way on Monday and like another day on Thursday. Another way on Thursday, and then like if I don't see you till Saturday, then I'm like, how do I feel today, like. It's horrid, but you know, we're working on it.
I believe in you.
Thanks, bitch. Thank you.
Yeah.
What have you learned about the way your partner communicates?
So for the most part, she's avoidant like you. But like she, that's what you literally just,
I don't like when other like, people say it, bitch. Sorry. Keep going.
Sorry. But she can be very avoidant, and she has said that too. And she's like, but then I think about your face when you're sad, and like that just makes me so sad. So I think like us being together makes us both like kind of come out of things that we shouldn't, so we can communicate with each other.
Yes.
Which I really, really love.
Yes.
So, but I will say that she's probably like, sometimes she can be really aggressive in her communication, because I'll say things and she'll be like, so you're saying, and then like simplify everything I just said. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she's like, because at the root, that's what it is. And I'm like, no, because you're not understanding it. And like, you're hearing it differently than what I'm trying. So like, then I try to say it in a bunch of different ways. Mm. And then she keeps simplifying. And so it, in some moments, it makes me feel, that's why our arguments will kind of go on longer, because I feel like I'm saying one thing, but she's hearing something differently. Mm-hmm. And so then when she delivers me what she heard, I'm like, no, that's not it. So, you know, I think in some ways she can be kind of aggressive, but as an assertive person, I kind of don't back down from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which again is why on the occasions that we do get into anything whatsoever, like that's why they do kind of last longer, because she's like, well, and I'm like, no, but she's still like, well, but we always end up coming to a head, because it literally is just about me saying things and like trying to say it in a way where she can hear it.
Really understand
it. Yeah. And then when she'll say it back to me, she'll be like, oh, okay, so this is this and this. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. And then once we get to that point, it'll kind of dissipate. Yeah. So, you know, she can be kind of reactive sometimes too.
Yeah.
Like last night I was kind of trying to help her with something, and like I made like the tiniest mistake. And she was like, oh, now I have so many other things added to my to-do list because of this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, like I was trying to help. I made a small mistake. I already said that I was going to get it figured out. And so like now it's all tense between us. And now I'm upset because she's being rude to me after I just sat here trying to like be helpful. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, bitch, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to the gym because actually this is like really frustrating me. I will never help you with anything ever again. If that's what, like, I want to go there, you know, but like, obviously, but I would say that she's kind of aggressive sometimes and sometimes she's passive.
So like we can be all, we can really be all four.
Yeah.
Especially depending on the motherfucking situation.
Yeah.
I would say my partner is very passive to start, but in a way that's like assertive, passive assertive. So he'll say, I really need some space to think about it. Even if we're in the same room, he'll be like, I just need to go sit in the living room and roll up a blunt that I'm not going to smoke. I just need to do something with my hands and like get it out.
Yeah.
And then he'll come in and he'll be like, so this is how I feel. And this is why I feel that way. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't necessarily like that. Cause like when I'm feeling it, I want to feel it. And I don't like to sit in that unknowing. So like, even though I know earlier I said that I like to think about things when I'm like processing.
Yeah.
When somebody's doing it to me.
That's also why I asked if that's something that you do, because most people who like to do that, they don't offer the same grace to the other person.
Well, I offer the grace. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I will offer it.
I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just saying most of the time.
Yeah. That's. So I hate that about it. But at the same time, I appreciate it because usually he'll come back with a level head. Because like, he's very emotional. Mm-hmm. So like he gets really sad and like depressive. And as I told you about my friend that's very passive aggressive, I don't like that. Cause then that automatically puts me in the spot of the aggressor.
Yeah.
Automatically now that you're acting like puppy dog sad eyes, like, okay, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I really don't even feel like I hurt your feelings, but like clearly your feelings are hurt. So, but Courtney, then
that's not the way to think about it.
Listen.
No, that's listen. Not the way
I think in certain situations, it really like, I really think that it comes down to a person's victim mentality. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But in certain situations, cause when I know that I have been a bitch, I will give you the space to be how you need to be and then back off. But if I'm really coming at you like, hey, I really wanted to talk to you about this. I've thought it through. I'm not in an emotionally aggressive state right now. And you still react like I just am the worst person, or like you don't understand why I would say something like that, or not even say something, but like act like that or have an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very frustrating sometimes because it's like what? Anyway. But I like that he will come back and be like, hey, I am good now. I had to take a second and I understand your point. I was like this, or I do feel like this, but let's talk about it. And then we will really just sit there and talk about it. And then I like that when we talk about it, we really try to understand each other because we just want to go back to like being like best friends. Like, I just want to like, can we laugh about this again? Like, can we just, I really want to show you this TikTok. Like, let's do this. I really want to like, you know, so we just kind of, like, not brush it off because we will talk about it.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, we just remember, like, I don't want to be mad. I really don't want to sit here and be mad. So, like, let's figure this shit out.
I'm very happy with my pairing. We're sitting here talking about communication style, and I'm realizing that my ex was a very, very aggressive communicator, which did not work well with me because that made me back into passive aggressive. And it made it hard for me to be more assertive because this person was always like aggressive, which, you know, I don't blame, but it just is not something that I communicate well with. And I'm like, wow, that's really, and I remember like we would get into like, cause I mean, also if you're getting aggressive, I might just get aggressive right back with you.
Yeah.
And so there were many times where I was like, you know what? I need to go for a walk because this is actually pissing me off. And I'll just go walk around, or I'll go to the gym, or I'll go and hang out with one of my friends or something like that. But I'm like, no, because if we keep doing this, we're just going to start yelling and screaming. And I'm honestly getting to the point where I want to fucking throw something. And you got me here. Oh, baby, I need to go.
Yeah. So I'm, at least you recognize that, because I would let my ex trigger me into like he would be aggressive and then I would come back aggressive, and then it would just get so bad to the point where like he would hang up the phone and I would be like, fuck it. Call. Cause you're going to hear what the fuck I have to say right the fuck now.
Yeah.
Like I was on like 15
and
like you said, like you're thinking about like your past partners and like the person you're communicating with now. And you're just like, I could really not go back. Like I couldn't imagine sitting on my FaceTime, like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon while I'm working from home, yelling at my phone, like nobody's fucking business, just praying my roommate does not get home to like hear how I'm talking to this nigga fucking crazy. Like my body is sweating. I'm like shaking. You know, we're leaving each other at places, like never want to go back to that. And it's over simple shit.
And that's why I say I'm not a screaming and yelling bitch. I'm not an arguing bitch. I'm none of that. So if you get me there, babe, there's something wrong here.
There's something seriously wrong. Mm-hmm. Bitch, communication is so important.
It really is.
And then last question for us and we'll wrap it up. How do you think we communicate?
I think sometimes with me, you come across a little passive. And I think that is because I'm assertive. And I think that's because, like, it's that thought that you were saying, like, even just assuming that is going to be a conflict.
Yeah.
Just because I'm also being assertive.
Yeah.
But, like, I also am very animated when I speak.
We both are.
Yeah. So, like, I've had even other relationships where they're like, you're getting so upset. And I'm like, I'm literally not upset. I just am feeling so many things right now. The only place for them to come out is in my facial expressions and my hands. Like, that's it. So, I think not in most instances, but I think that like there have been instances where it is passive, but I think that we also have had conflict where we've come at each other pretty assertive.
Yeah.
That in not a negative way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I think about the one day in the stairwell for last year for a birthday party.
Oh yeah.
That's like the one I think about. Cause we're both like just sitting there and we're like letting each other like just get it out.
Yeah.
And then at the end being like, okay, so what are we doing after this? And then coming to a solution, hugging it out and then going back. Like that is like that's one moment that I think about a lot that really is like, that's my bitch for real.
It's like, okay, like we have two choices. We're either gonna like let this continue to like ruminate or like we're just gonna get this bitch out.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna move the fuck on because it's like really not worth like.
And I'm like, whoever in the stairwell is probably like these bitches.
Let me take the elevator, bitch.
And like what's crazy is that we were talking and we both were making facial expressions while we were talking. And like then we'd be like, don't make that face at me. And I'm like,
Literally.
Yeah. But we both gave each other the time to like get it out. And I think that's what was important.
Yeah. And I think we both do a good job of knowing that we are animated. Like we talk a lot with our hands and like we just have, we have loud voices.
Yeah, we do.
And so I don't really like view it as like, oh, she's getting loud with me. I'm mostly just like, okay, she's really feeling her fucking feelings.
Yeah, bitch.
So I'm just gonna really try to listen to what the fuck she's saying. And then, but I will say sometimes when I get passive with you, I think in a good way, most of the time, it's because I think you question me a lot on why I feel certain ways. And like, I don't always have the answers and that frustrates me.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, well, I don't have the answers for this. I don't know. I start to like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Yeah. All I know is like, this is how I felt at this time. And like, I'm sorry. Like I start backtracking, but that's just, I think it's just cause you like, you want to know a lot more than I think I know at the time.
Cause I want to know so I can make sure I'm fully understanding.
And you do tell me that.
So
you say, I just want to make sure so this doesn't happen again or so that we're not put in the situation, you know.
And sometimes I see things differently than how people are projecting them to me. Like sometimes I see them as they are, but like that's not how they actually are. So I think that that is also something. Like I'm just wanting to make sure that if there is something underneath that I'm seeing it, so that way we can, you know.
Yeah.
I think we communicate well in conflict.
I do. I do too. Yeah. I think we communicate well for us.
Yeah.
You know, like I think we understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like, I think, you know, I'm not going to say anything to purposefully hurt you. And I know that you're not going to say anything to purposefully hurt me.
Yeah.
So
even if I think it comes out weird, I'll be like, but I'm also not meaning it like that. I'm meaning it. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I love a good friendship episode.
Right.
Yeah, that was our show.
Two for two.
Yeah, for real. If you've never listened to the show before, listen to the last episode because it was also good as fuck.
Yeah.
And follow us on Instagram at @allyourpleasures_ and TikTok. Same one at @allyourpleasures_.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and like and subscribe to our YouTube so you can see our beautiful faces. It's getting hot in here because it's midday. And definitely rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
5 stars. Leave a review. We would really, really love it if you left a fucking review, babes. Whether you're listening to this on a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, bitch, we love you.
Bye.